we are very used to be like in sitting with like exegetical sermons, preachings, but I guess my sermon will be more like a thematic. Our theme will be love, as we started last week, love. This is love, second one. Next week will be the last one, based on Romans chapter 12. Before reading our scriptures, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this great opportunity to read and to learn about your word together. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through the scriptures. We are wondering about you. We are wondering about your love. So please speak to us, especially speak to me so that I can deliver your word to your people, even to me, so that we'll be in your mercy and grace during this worship service, so that we will completely glorify you and will give you honor through this worship service. We pray all these things in your Son, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 13. I'm looking at my old paper. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. So only two verses. Page number is 1206 from the Pew Bibles. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandments are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of God. As I just mentioned, we have been studying on the book of Romans. I think this is third one. We are going backward. I know that Sunday school studied on book of Romans over the year about right? So I'm trying to go back to chapter 13, 12, and 11 if it is God's will. Now, we know that chapter 15 and 14, we talked about it, or talked about how Paul dealt with the division of Roman churches. Especially chapter 14 and 15, we see two different names, like the strong and the weak. The strong were those who have strong faith in Christ. The weak means those who had a weak faith. And then Paul commanded the strong Christians to bear with failings of the weak. Not just ignore it, but bear with failings of the weak. And he also urged the strong not to despise the weak. That was the last week. And the weak to the weak Christians not to criticize the strong based on their eating habit. In chapter 14, now all his teachings, chapter 14 and 15, were possibly, we can say, related to his teaching of love found in Romans chapter 12 and 13 and 14. It goes to 15. So today will be the second time that we can talk about love, how Paul understood and how he taught the Roman Christians. And the next Sunday, if Lord's will, we'll be looking at the love one more time. That will be the last sermon series of One in Love. Now, let me start with a question. What is love? How do we understand love as Christians? Now, talking about love is not easy. The word love is really good. We love the word and we like the word. We want to fall in love, but talking about love is not easy, especially when we talk about love with the scriptures. There are literally thousands of books out there talking about love. However, one thing is sure, the Bible gives us some basic principles about love that we are going to look at today. In the New Testament, the word love appears about 317 times, lots of times. Based on all these verses, 317 times, now I figure that three major teachings that we can find about love, that teachings from first Jesus Christ, another one is Apostle John, and the last one is Apostle Paul that we're going to look at today. Now, Jesus' teaching about love is found from his teaching is found in four Gospels, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 and 39. And we know the situation of Pharisee came and asked a question about great commandment. It was about great commandment. So he was expecting something new and smart answer from Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, strikingly, he says, "You shall love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself." If I were a Pharisee, I would be very confused. I asked him about what is the great commandment? But Jesus summarized all things and said, love God, love your neighbors. Two principles of love. Love God, love neighbors. Jesus also says in John 3:16, we all know all these verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in, it's about Jesus Christ. He came and he died. So Bible teaches about Jesus' love and God's love from his life. He died on the cross and gave us eternal life. That's about God's love. We know that God's love was not about concept or theory or idea, but it's an action. Based on John 3:16, God's love is not just up there, but God loved the world and he gave his one and only son and he rescued all the people who believed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's about God's love. Jesus Christ's love. Now, Apostle John's love is pretty much the same, but his understanding is a little bit different. 1 John 4:7-8, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another." And he says, "For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because he is love." From his teaching, love comes from definitely God, not from us or someone else. God is a source of love. That's our understanding. In 1 John 4, chapter 19, we love, that is logic, we love because God first loved us. So John's understanding is like a knowing God means knowing God's love. His logic is, doesn't love one another, that means you don't know about God. So we cannot say that, I know about God and I don't love you. It doesn't match in John's logic. Love is not a concept, but it's a really practical way of living in this world as a Christian. Love is the source of our life. And love is like a God-centered and Jesus-centered lifestyle. 1 John 5:3, he says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So if we have God's love, we understand God's love, that is a source of our life, that he said we keep his commandments, that commandments are not burdensome. We keep the commandments not to be saved, but we keep the commandment because we are saved, we want to glorify him. That's why John said it's not burdensome. What about Paul? Paul's understanding about love. I'll go a little bit deeper here today. Based on Paul's understanding, love shapes community. He sees the more bigger picture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know this chapter. Verse 4 through 7, love is patient and kind and does not envy and boast. It's not arrogant and rude, and love it does not insist on its own way. It explains that love shapes the community, faith community. And verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I stopped here when I read this verse. Love bears all things. Whoa. Believes all things. Wow. Hopes all things. Endures all things. The community without God's love, we cannot exist. And Paul also says, Romans 12:9, it will be next week a topic. He says, let love be genuine. We cannot say, I love you, and without our hearts. Paul's understanding about love is love always comes with God's commandments, like John. Romans 13 and verse 8. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's our verse today. Did you realize that Jesus relates God's love with the law, keeping the law? Remember that we keep the law not to be saved. That's different understanding. We keep the law because we already saved. We want to glorify Him. So Jesus relates God's love with keeping the law. And Apostle John also connects God's love with the law. And here Paul says, love means fulfilling the law. We understood that, and many Jews at the time focused on keeping the law, only the law. Now Paul rearranged the structure, the order, like Jesus Christ. Love God and love neighbor, that is the way to fulfill the law. Priority is not the law, but God's love and God's grace. In Paul's mind, and love is more than how we understand, like our physical love and emotional love. Love shapes our lifestyle. Love shapes our characters. Because of love that we learn from God, because of love that we have, it shapes our characters. I can be a different person because of God's love. Love shapes our vision for our church. Because of God's love, we are ready to go out to talk about God's love. Based on God's love we have received through our lives, we build up our relationship one another in this church. We do all our evangelism, our mission work, supporting our missionaries. All these things are happening because of love that we have. Then our text. Paul brings a fresh way to understand about love in our text. As we looked at verse 8 already, but it says starting like, owe no one anything. It's a very interesting saying. Except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now here Paul comes with, he talks about love and relationship. Here in this concept we see in love relationship with our brothers and sisters, we are always debtors. And in our brothers and sisters, or even neighbors, our neighbors are creditors. So here Paul uses two imperative words in verse 8. Do not owe anything. That's first one. The second one is to love one another. These two imperatives, commanding words, are in present form. That means it's not temporal. It's not just happening right there at only Roman churches, but it continues. Paul is giving them, do not owe anything but love one another. These actions must be continually happening in your church. That's Paul's logic. Paul's understanding of love is not one-time action. not sometime action, depending on our mood or feelings, but it's forever action based on God's love. Now, speaking of love, there is no break in Paul's mind. There's no excuse. It's not temporal or conditional. Now, another interesting point is that this forever love is our dad. We carry this heart. We know the meaning of that. That means we need to pay. As I was writing my sermon, I thought about, do I really have this kind of feeling? I always have debt. I have to pay. In Paul's mind, love works like a debt. We need to pass it out. We need to give it to others. Not just only one time, but continually. In Paul's mind, love is giving. Based on verse 8, we know that true love is not taking things away, but it's more like a giving. Love is not just possessing or taking some things from other people at our will, but love is actually understood as giving. Love becomes a problem in our relationship with our brothers and sisters, even our neighbors, when people think that it's taking time. Take things and take people's hearts for our own benefits, to be happy, to make us satisfied. And our society becomes more horrible if we all want to have something, want to take something to receive love. If we all want to take things from others to satisfy our love desire, and our society will be more like a horrible society. I read a couple of commentaries. Because of that, human trafficking happening and abuse happening, we don't respect others. The Bible clearly teaches us today that love is a giving action. It's an action as Jesus Christ gave His entire life to us based on God's love. We have to copy that love. We have to practice the same love. Since love is giving, some commentators say that love doesn't focus on negative things or people's failures. God's love, His love for us, endures forever because it doesn't focus on our failures or mistakes. As God gives us His steadfast love, we should give the same love to others, our neighbors, brothers, sisters. That's what Paul is saying. In that sense, if love is giving, Paul is saying that it's not taking, but it's forever. Keep giving something that love requires of sacrifice. As Jesus sacrificed His love to prove God's love for us, as we are debtors, we must be ready to sacrifice things that we have, even ourselves, even our lives, for the glory of God. That's kind of tough. We always say that we talk about love. I like to talk about love. Love we see here in love. If we go to a grocery store to buy cards, it's about love, love. But unfortunately, we hesitate to sacrifice things that we have. When we realize that true love requires of our sacrifice, including our time and money and even our life, we just hesitate. Okay, my love goes up to this far. Is that true? That's not sacrifice. What we found about God's love is beyond beyond our understanding. Sacrifice means in the Bible, it's a reconciliation happening. It's erasing our sins in the Old Testament. So we have to remember that God and human beings are brought together in a personal relationship because of Jesus Christ, because of His sacrifice on the cross. In the same sense, in the sense, Christian love must bring peace and forgiveness of sins and reconciliation to our brothers and sisters through our sacrifice love. As Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. When we are ready to sacrifice, this verse will come true. The question is, how much can we sacrifice ourselves to our brothers and sisters? I guess we need God's wisdom on that question. But we have to remember that true love that Paul is talking about here is cannot be found in a church if we don't want to sacrifice ourselves. Sacrificial love makes us very uncomfortable sometimes, including me. Well, I have things that I want to keep. I don't want to do this because something like that. So this message was really tough for me this week. But Psalm 90 and 14, it says, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Now, although it will be painful, maybe difficult for us to sacrifice things that we have, even ourselves, for our brothers and sisters and for others, if we do, here comes the joy in our hearts. Sacrificial love will bring us joy in our hearts. So Paul is saying that don't take it, but just give it. Because love is giving. Paul also understands love is the best way to keep the law. In verse 9, he says, Commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandments, and is summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now in this verse, Paul talks about some of the Ten Commandments that we know. These commandments are in we say negative forms, negative commanding forms. He says, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Now all these negative commanding words and forms bring Paul's understanding, it's a little bit difficult to understand, but commentators have said that Paul is using some negative concepts to bring positive results of love. That's his logic. I'll try to explain to you. Paul is not simply saying, hey, don't do that, don't do this, because Bible says, God said, not that way. But he's saying, why? Why we shouldn't do these things, these horrible things to our neighbors, these horrible sins in our lives. We shouldn't commit adultery. We shouldn't murder. We shouldn't steal. We shouldn't covet because we are the one who should practice love. So Paul brought all negative commanding forms here, saying that not because you know, Bible says we should not do this, do this, do this. Not that way. But we already experienced God's love. That's why we shouldn't do it. Make sense? That's I understand from some commentaries. In other words, we keep all the teachings of the law from the Old Testament, not based on our righteousness or to be saved, but keep all these things because we love God and our neighbors. That's why Paul says, love is the fulfilling of the law. With God's love, not because of our own righteousness, with God's love, we can keep the law. With God's love, we can make all these negative things positive results. And Paul's teaching is love is real. love that Paul teaches in our text is not a theory, but it's real. Must be real to us today. This love should be found in our life and every day. That means we must re-examine our hearts every day to find this love. The love of giving, sacrificial love, and fulfilling the law through our love. Now here is a challenge that I want to bring to you. Is that possible for us to continually love our brothers and sisters? Maybe we can continually love our brothers and sisters and family members, maybe sometimes our enemies. But would it be possible to continually love our neighbors and enemies just 24/7, no matter what they did to us, no matter how much we have suffered through their action or words? Can we really follow all the teachings about love from the Bible, even Paul's teaching today? My human answer is no. That's a challenge. I know that I'm talking about love here in the pulpit, and you say, hey, James, what are you talking about? We cannot love our enemy forever. Yes, that is true, we can't. The question mark is, all the things, all the love, we cannot love our neighbors, our enemies, or some other people who did bad things to us. We cannot love them if love comes from us. That's Paul's teaching. If love comes from us, it's impossible. However, all these questions that I throw to you, the answers will be yes. We are able to. We will love our enemies and brothers if we realize that love comes from God, that we received that same love, the same love from God. So in that sense, from Paul's teaching, our job is remembering God's love, recharging our spirit and mind and like a rechargeable battery every day. We need to be reminded of God's love from the scriptures, the love of Jesus Christ from the scriptures. The source of love is from God and Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded every day. We know that people are talking about love and love and love. But they are talking about love without Christ. That love is temporal and not real love. Real love is from God. And real love is always with Christ. With Christ, with God, love is giving. Love is sacrificial. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Brothers and sisters, today is Father's Day, a day that we can say thank you to our fathers, a day that we can say to our Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Brothers and sisters, today is Father's Day. As our Father in heaven showed his love to us, let's say to one another, I love you in Jesus Christ. Let's love one another, not by our own feeling and power and experience, but by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ who lives in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Paul's teaching from the book of Romans, that Paul found some divisions in Romans church and he's trying to unite them with God's love. Lord, we hear love almost every day from our loved ones, family members, our friends and co-workers, and even our brothers and sisters in this church. But sometimes we don't love our neighbors and brothers and sisters, our love is very limited. Lord, we ask your blessings today. Would you help us bless us to fully understand your love? We cannot love one another, but with your mighty power, with your presence, with your love, we will be able to. Help us and bless us. We pray all these things, your Son, in Jesus Christ. Amen.